We ended up next to each other in the airport gift shop. Fate, chance, randomness. I passed through Atlanta at least once a week, almost every week, heading for another city to take care of the same customers I'd been working with for 5 years. I arrived and left on the same flights, always the same times. 1 week I might fly to St. Louis, the next to Dallas or Little Rock. On that Tuesday, I was headed to Tampa. I traveled all over the eastern third of the country. There was a never-ending blandness and sterility to the concourses and planes. On more than one occasion, I'd found myself in an airport, walking briskly through the terminal, and couldn't recall exactly which city I was in or where I was heading. I slept better in hotels than in my own apartment. But that Tuesday, the day I met Morgan, something different happened. That day, something put the two of us right next to each other. I've been working in commercial real estate development for 5 years, ever since I graduated from college. My life felt like an endless merry-go-round. I'd hopped on when my dad helped me get the job, and the carousel had been spinning since then. Everything around me had blurred. My apartment, my friends, my life. I passed through airport gates across the country, handed over my boarding passes, thanked the flight attendants and pilots. I didn't notice faces anymore. I didn't connect with the people I passed in my travels. We transacted things. Business, commerce, money. I bounced along with the rest of them like cattle in a chute. My dad always told me to keep my cards close to the vest when negotiating. I'd taken that advice too much to heart. I'd started doing it everywhere. But then she ended up in line next to me in the gift shop. I wouldn't have noticed, except she almost dropped her purse. Something rustled and shuffled behind me. When I turned to look, she made a sudden movement, lunging to catch the leather bag before it fell, but her iPhone tumbled to the floor, bouncing and ending up next to my shoe. Since she was clutching the bag with both hands, I bent down and picked the phone up. "Good thing you have a case," I said. Her left hand shook as she took the phone back. Nervous flyer? But she didn't thank me. I couldn't say I blamed her, since I'd been tuning my fellow travelers out for years. I'd adopted a glassy-eyed stare, a cold, determined look that warded off conversation. But when she took her phone back, I really noticed her. The shaking hand, the vulnerability, somehow slipped past my defenses. I looked right at her. She wore her dark brown hair in a loose ponytail that hung below a tan bucket hat with a red band. Her eyes and a good portion of her face were covered by oversized sunglasses I knew she had to have taken off before she got through security. She was almost as tall as I am, a couple of inches under 6 feet, and wore black leggings, black running shoes, and a gray Lycra hoodie. She had a carry-on over one shoulder and clutched the purse against her body. Her flushed cheeks looked delicate, the skin nearly flawless. We appeared to be the same age, mid-20s. She looked away from me as I studied her. At least she seemed to be looking away from me, as much as I could tell with the sunglasses on. Some holdup occurred ahead of us, drawing my attention to the front of the line. An elderly man wearing clunky shoes with his pants hiked up almost to his chest started arguing about the price he was charged for his newspaper. He felt like he'd been asked to pay 5 cents too many. The cashier listened with a strained look on her face. I almost reached into my pocket to get the nickel, but I hadn't carried loose change with me since I was a kid. So I turned to the woman behind me again, the one who had dropped her phone and taken it back without thanking me, the one with the shaking hand, the one who had managed to pierce the stoic determination I adopted when I traveled. It actually felt good to sense that small opening, to have the facade of cold impersonality cracked ever so slightly. was a surprise.